good morning, everybody. We having a good day? You know, this morning, my daughter, we have a little thermostat, and she said, "Dad, it's negative 12. I don't even know anymore. I don't know about you, but I've given up on the weather, and I'm just excited to be here today. So glad you're here on Vision Sunday. 8 years ago, we launched this week, this church, in a public service, and it was so exciting. That first Sunday we went public, we did a big mail-out, and our little team of about 30 people had worked hard on trying to get the place ready, and 130 people showed up, and we were just ecstatic. We just couldn't believe it. We were just freaking out, high-fiving them. We're like, oh, we have to do service, you know. And it was just so fun that Sunday, and to see the church launched, started. But it began quite a few years earlier in my wife and I's heart. It began with a glimmer of, what if we started a church that could meet the needs of the people that at the time we were working with? I was at Marshall Fields. Remember that place? I was there working, and my wife was a manager at Williams-Sonoma. And we saw people when we were working in those environments, hardworking Minnesotans, good people, the same people you work with, the same people that you do life with, the same people that are in your cubicle or on your sales floor. We were doing life with them, and we saw that they were just kind of existing and subsisting, and they kind of tolerated the 4 or 5 days of their work week in order to kind of live on the weekend, or sometimes they were tolerating the weekend only just to show back up at work where they actually felt significance and value. And we realized that what they're missing is they didn't understand why God made them. They didn't understand what on earth they were here for. They didn't understand the potential that was locked inside of them, that God created each one of us in our mother's womb with a purpose and a plan, a part to play in His grand scheme. And the world that we were working with at that time just seemed like if they would discover who God was for themselves and what their potential was in Him, they'd make different decisions, they'd date different people, they would maybe even work different places, they would live a full life, a vibrant life, they would live their high point. And that is the inception, that's the big idea that we came apart with and just said, maybe we could do something in the southeast, 494 quarter of St. Paul. Maybe there's a need here. Maybe there's some people that might resonate with this vision. And we saw it grow. We went from one services to two services in the movie theater. And we outgrew the movie theater. And we decided, you know what? Let's take a leap. Let's move a few miles. Let's build. Let's invest. After 6.5 years in a facility that we could have a full kids wing. Because how many of you know it's just nasty on those floors? They don't clean the floors of a theater. Did you know that? I can tell you that now because we're not in a movie theater anymore. They just take a blower and they just the popcorn out. And that's disgusting. So we needed rooms for our children. And we invested and we went in and we said, you know what, as a community, we're going to give big. And we did. And we built this place out and we prayed. And guess what? More people came. And today you look around, you're like, man, this feels good. This feels exciting. But guess what? There's more room here in this place. After 8 years, we've just begun. We've just gotten out of into our toddler and beyond years. We're just at this place where we're discovering our strength. We're getting our legs as a church, and there's more opportunities and more things in store, and there's bigger things that God has for us. There's a strategic reason that we are on the dot in 494 area, that we're right next to 35E, right on 494, right near Highway 52. There's a strategic God sized reason we are here, and we've yet to fully realize it as a church. And so today, in the next few minutes, you're going to hear a plan, and you're going to hear some things that God has in store for you. Some of you already know what it is, but I want you to know that we've not come to this lightly, and we believe that the next years of this church are exponential growth moments. And I'm going to need every single one of you that comes and attends and is a regular to up their game, to be a part, because the vision is big and your role in it is even bigger. And so as we get into this, we're titling these next few weeks that we're together, Better Together. And I just want you to be here. Just come every week. Don't miss. Just make sure that you're here for this Better Together series, because God's going to speak to us about the mission of the church, the big picture of the church seed, the big church, His church. I mean, you know, He's the head, not me and not you. He's the head. And we get an opportunity to play a part in that every day of our lives. And we're going to talk about Better Together over the next few weeks. Now, to help us get into this Better Together concept, this Better Together thing, we just need to talk about what's better together. So you just help me. So I'm going to name something, word association here, and you're going to help me with it. Okay, you ready? Peanut butter and? Yes. Okay, so like Oreos and? Yes. Now, this is maybe a hard one. Thanksgiving and lasagna. Oh, right, you're not Italian. I get you. That's a little tricky. I knew it was tricky for you. It's good. Okay, Tom and? Yes, better together, better together. Bert and? Yes, better together. If you took Bert away from Ernie, it's just a weird guy in an empty apartment, you know? It's awkward. It's not better together. But together, it makes sense. There's context. You know, cake and? Yes, we could go on and on and on. Batman and? Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just better. If Batman by himself, he's just a creepy dude in a cape. With Robin, two guys wearing tights, I could see it downtown Minneapolis, you know. Better together, context. Here's what I know. You can't achieve anything significant in life without a strategic partnership. People who are alone, people who try to do life alone, people who think they got the world by the tail and they can do it without anybody else, that's just lonely business. You only go so far in your own strength, on your own abilities, in your own manner, in your own way, in your own place. You just only go so far. And at some point, you cap out. At some point, you run out of you just run out of room that you can do on your own. But your life is actually valued by the people and relationships and the strategic partnerships you have. God's word in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man on the planet, wiser than anyone who has ever lived, he wrote this book and tucked in this book of Ecclesiastes, which is just kind of his ranting at this season of life where he was very depressed. But in there are some just treasures, and this guy gets it. He was surrounded by a harem of women. He had power, he had knowledge, he had understanding, he had all that you could possibly have. And he simply writes this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. He writes just before this, if you read it on your own, he says that a man goes and works in his field all alone. He has no child, he has no friendships. And he looks at his life, he looks at his work, and he goes, for what am I working for? That's just in the phrases right next to this. And then he goes, two are better than one, because they have a great return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one man can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Oh. But how can one keep warm alone? This is really powerful stuff. Two are better than one, because they have a good return on their reward. This is a powerful thing. There's power in life connected. There's an increased productivity when you're with somebody. Now, I did a little research. I saw this back in the day. Martha Stewart was talking about this. Don't mock Martha. You can learn a lot from Martha. And she was saying that there is an exponential return on making the bed with two people versus one person, okay? And so I looked at the Guinness Book of World Records, which is where you look to find truth. And basically, here's what it said. It said one person, the world record for making the bed for one person was 74 seconds. Wow, that's fast. Two people making a bed, you ready? Here's the record, 14 seconds. That's a 528% bump. Like, think if you were driving to Duluth today and it took you 528% times faster to get there. That's like nothing. That's a bullet train. That's like, I could do that and just, I could be there and back in no time at all. Think if it took you 528% faster to clean the house. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, oh, let's do it every day instead of every third week or whatever you do. That's not how often we do. I'm just saying. I don't know what you do. I'm not judging. The point is that when we partner with somebody, there's an exponential return on our investment. When we do something with another person, there is value. We understand this in work. There's new theories of job sharing. We understand this when corporations come and they say, hey, can you help us with this? They bring in consultants, and some of you are consultants. And there's a return of working in strategic partnership together. Okay, that's business talk. That's just making beds, whatever. What is the work that we are doing as Christians? What's the work? It's Jesus said, my work is to do the will of my Father. Well, what is the will of my Father? For God so that he gave his Son, Jesus, to see the world saved. That none should perish, that all could inherit eternal life. God didn't send his Son to judge the world, to condemn the world. He sent his Son to redeem it, to bring life to it. And so if our work is to do the will of the Father, and the will of the Father is that none should perish, then the work of our hands is to bring others to Christ. Trying to do that alone is impossible. As a matter of fact, Scripture talks about this. It says that one waters and one plants the seed of faith and another harvests. There's multiple roles in this job of seeing people brought to Christ. There's strategic partnerships. And when we align ourselves with somebody who has a similar vision and similar heart, that's what coming into being a part of a church community is. That way, when you trust this church to be a safe place, and we've seen it. I remember week two of our church being here. Couple came in. The young lady's name was Tegan. She had an identity issue, and her marriage was on the rocks. 8 years later, I married them again, and God has redeemed her life to the point where her name that she gave herself, she gave that up and took the name that God had given her a long time ago. She changed her name back to what God wanted it to be. There was a redemption. The wasted years that the locusts had eaten in that marriage have been redeemed. And there, I just met with them yesterday. There is power and vitality and unity like I have never seen in that marriage before. That's the power of a church coming into strategic partnership, working together, being in unity together, having a common mission, vision, and values. When two are better than one, not only is there an increased ability to have productivity, but there brings help in time of need. If one falls down, another one will lift up his companion. This is simple stuff. You guys understand this stuff, but maybe you'll understand it in a little bit more depth when I talk to you about my rock climbing experience. I don't go often. Matter of fact, it's been almost 15 years since last time I went rock climbing. But it made such an important impression on my life, I just thought I'd share it with you. See, when you go rock climbing, first of all, they put you in the most uncomfortable harness that it's just awful. And it holds things that shouldn't be held, and it's just awful. And so you're up there, and we were going down these Taylor Falls mountains, and I remember somebody's down below, and they warned us. They said, okay, we're going to practice this. You say belay on, and the person down there holding the rope says, on belay. And so you practice it. You're like, belay on. Belay on. Now, if you don't hear on belay, guess what that means? Don't go, you're going to die. They give you a helmet simply to contain the mess, and they say, so you stand up here, everybody's got a view of that they shouldn't have, and you're holding onto the rope, you lean way over, belay on belay. And then you begin to work your way down, and the person down below slowly lets the line out. Here's the problem. When we think we got this, We go through life, we hit an up, we hit a down, we hit a pothole, we hit a cliff, and instead of going, hey, at church, is somebody got my back? Hey, I'm belay. Hey, in my connection group or life group or small group, hey, I'm belay. Does somebody have my back? We just jump. And we wonder why there's pain, and we wonder why there's fracture, and we wonder why there's discomfort, and we wonder why when we hit those moments in life, we fail, and we look around, and we're all alone. You know when you have a mat, like you just hurt yourself and nobody's around? It's just miserable. You're like, I'm in pain, somebody just know my pain. And we go through life often, and we hurt ourselves, and we go through things, and we go to work, and we kind of ooze at work, and they can't help you because they don't have the answer. So they just talk out of their pain, and hurt people give hurt advice. And we see this chain reaction in our world of people who, instead of having a godly counsel, a godly friend, a person that they're doing life with, they can reach down and go, come on, brother, come on, sister, I got this. This is what God's word says. This is what the hope of Jesus says. This is what the point of the message of Christ is. We sit there and we go, we kick each other when we're down. We're actually, some of us, we're glad that there's pain in their life because at least we know that they're not better than us. And it's this dysfunctional world that we're stuck in. But the church isn't that. The church is life. The church is hope. The church is joy. Jesus often, when people would bring sick people or other people in need and they'd bring them to Jesus, he'd say, by your faith, this person is healed. He'd actually say, you've lent your faith so that they have healing that they need. We lend each other the things that we need. We help. We lend joy when we're joyless. We lend peace when there's no peace. We lend comfort when there's no comfort. Scripture actually says in Romans, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a command. It's a directive. Mourn with those who mourn. In other words, we have an opportunity to get in the trenches with a godly hand and lift people up and partner together and help with one another. We comfort one another. We lend what we're strong in to one who is weak because someday we will be weak and need the strength of somebody else. That's the power of a partnership. That's better together. He talks about bringing comfort. One will keep another warm. Now, I was trying to, it was cold, and my daughter's hilarious. She sleeps with like a full flannel thing, two undershirts, two blankets, another quilt. I mean, she's just socks. Like, she would wear earmuffs if I let her to sleep. And so one night I was tucking her in, and I was talking to her, and she was, Daddy, it's cold, and I'm cold, and I'm cold. Okay, I got it, babe. I understand. Will you sleep with me tonight? I said, honey, I have to sleep with mommy. Well, but you could sleep with me tonight. You say, honey, I married mommy, and I did not sleep with her before we got married. And now we get to warm each other. That's part of being married. Like, I get to sleep with her, and I keep her warm. You know, she doesn't have as many blankets as you have. Like, I'm trying to get her to understand. I'm trying to get her to understand that nobody else should warm her until she's married. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want her to know. No other guy should warm her until she's married. So just, Daddy. And she looks at me with just the sweetest, innocent eyes. Oh, so that's the magic thing that mommies and daddies get to do after they're married. They warm each other. Yes. That's right. And you have a lot to look forward to, young lady. I don't think that that's quite what this verse is talking about. A number of years ago, I took a boater safety course because we were going to Alaska. And in the boater safety course, they said, if you fall in, you have about 90 seconds before hypothermia sets in. And if somebody falls in your boat out of the water, you fish them out within 90 seconds. You actually have about 5 to 10 minutes before they're actually brain dead. So you get them out, and if you can't get like warm blankets on them or whatever, what you actually should do is strip down to your skibbies and get in the sleeping bag with them and allow your warmth to slowly warm them. And because you're sharing warmth together, you'll slowly bring up their temperature, body temperature, and you'll bring health and life to them. I think that is the picture that we're to have here. When we're in partnership, when we're better together, one is cold, one has needs, one is in pain, one is in a place where they just need comfort. And we come together, and we place our warmth next to theirs, and we pray for them. And we seek God on their behalf. And we know that we're not alone. And sometimes it's just nice to know I'm not alone. No matter how desperate you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter the bad news you've had, no matter the person who's walked out on you, the offense you carry, the brokenness you have, the unemployment you face, no matter what, in a strategic partnership where the Lord is in the midst, there is strength and health and vitality. He finishes this passage with a simple verse. It's just simple. This is just genius here. It's just so simple, so genius. The one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, two, I get three. What's he talking about, Willis? What is this? What's going on here? This is simple natural strand rope technology. It hasn't changed much in 3,000 years. Here's the deal. People who make ropes, which I am not, but we can all learn something from this moment. People who make ropes, they know that one-stranded ropes fray, they're not strong, they actually get brittle, they're just not very good. And a two-stranded rope, actually, it tends to tangle. If you're using it, it tends to actually fray against itself, and it breaks quite easily, quite quickly. But when you see a three-stranded rope that's braided, that's actually the optimum type of natural strand rope. Now, we use synthetics and other things, but that's actually the ideal situation. If you have four strands, they're brittle, they're thick, they're not pliable. But three, that's the optimum way to know that you've got a strong rope that can actually handle the load and the workforce and the ability to it's stronger together. Now, what's the point here? When one partners with one, that's two strands. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, that's a third strand. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is strength, there is vitality, there is an ability to withstand loads that the two never thought they could handle. But when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon this church, and the mission and the vision that we have had for these 8 years becomes real and evident, and we have new people coming through these doors with bigger problems than we've ever seen, and we partner together in our small groups, and we partner together in our kids' wings and in our kids' classrooms, and we partner together in this mission, vision, and value, and we say, Lord, I don't have what it takes, but together, the three of us can withstand anything. That is true power. That is better together. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like something you want? Elizabeth, would you come with me? And we want to share with you something that we believe the Lord is doing in this church, and an opportunity in the next few minutes where we can partner and become better together with the Holy Spirit, and something incredible for this church. Well, I'm transitioning thoughts now. This last year has been an interesting year for Elizabeth and I. We've felt stirring, wind. We felt like God was up to something and calling us to something, but we didn't know what. So we, as a family, decided we needed to be in unity with each other and in unity with the Lord. And so we spent the summer about 11 weeks in fasting and prayer, just going, Lord, we just want your plans, because we're pretty good at making plans, but I'd rather have yours than our own.
So we did an 11-week Daniel fast this summer. Some of you were involved in that with us, where we fasted food, we did fruits and vegetables, we fasted media, and we just tried to tune our ears to the voice of the Lord. And we felt like there was a significant turning point coming without knowing what it was. So we were praying for you. We were praying for us to hear the Lord, but really taking time and feeling like this fall would be significant for all of us, and we wanted to be prepared. We had that sense that we could either come into the fall unprepared, or we could be ready, but that there was something coming.
Yeah. In October, November, we things began to change in our hearts. We began to pray and talk to some mentors about what was going on. I remember in October, we had a pastor friend pray over us. He gave us a word from the Lord that it's been the most spot-on word that I've ever had in my life. And just again, confirming something's changing, something's happening, there's something going on. In November, we were, it was a Monday, and I had some music on. I was praying in here. Elizabeth was somewhere else in her own prayer time. And I began to feel just this moment where I was just surrendering this church to Him. Just, again, just the same prayers. Lord, what is it that You're doing? What is the next thing? And I felt this still small voice, the way He's talked to me a million times. Just this, there's change coming. Something's different now, and there's something that's coming. There's a new assignment. And so Elizabeth and I have a lunch that day, and I shoved it. I was like, this will hide this in my heart. I'm not going to tell anybody, Lord, because who knows what this means. It could be like 5 years, 10 years. I don't know. Great. Love new assignments. Like a fortune cookie. You're like, cool. Like that. I don't know what it means. We're not going to try to plan that out. We're going to let it come to us. And so we're having lunch together, and Elizabeth looks at me over the table, and she just kind of says,
"Said I was in prayer this morning, and I feel the Lord is telling me that my assignment is coming to an end, and that there's something new ahead, but that time is running out, that time is short, and I'm going to be given a new assignment."
With tears, we just felt a unity and a confirmation, that's the Lord, okay? But you have to understand, for us, like, the Lord's said things like, He told us, hey, I want you to prepare to buy a house. And so we thought that was like within the next 6 months. 4 years later, we moved into that house, you know? So we're like, okay, great, God. 3 years, 4 years, I don't know. We'll just stay faithful and keep looking for what You're doing, because that's just how You handle moments like that. 3 days later, we got a phone call from River Valley. They said, we are praying and processing our future. We're planning the next 10 years. We're trying to put some plans together, and we keep thinking of You. Okay. They said, would you begin a conversation with us about what if? What if we partnered? What if You came on staff? What if Your church merged as a campus? What if? Okay, well, knowing what the Lord's just spoken to me, we can live in the land of what if. It's probably not going to happen. We've had other opportunities in times past. This church is great. Other people know about it, and we've sat down with many other people over the number of years, and we have an initial conversation. Usually I do that just because they buy, and I like to have lunch, and so I'm like, sure, you can buy me lunch. And it's never turned into anything. We met together with them. We began to share our heart. We began to share what we feel God doing. We knew it had to be right for all of us. We knew it had to be right for my wife. Part of my responsibility as a man is to protect her calling and gifting. It's not all about me. It's about her. I knew it had to be right for me, and I knew it had to be right for this church. It's our third child that has a name and a birthday, and we usually celebrate it with cake, you know? And it had to be right with all of that. So we began to talk.
We began several months of discussion. We went to people who are mentors for us, who speak into our lives, who speak into our decision-making, who have helped us raise this church up. And we began to pray and a lot of conversation. Because we love You. Because this church is significant to us. Because we've invested our youth in this mission. So these were not conversations that were taken lightly. This has been a lot of processing, a lot of prayer, and a lot of dreaming. And what we quickly began to realize was that there were so many great opportunities ahead. As we began to process, many of you remember that River Valley is our mother church. It's the church that brought us in and said, we'd love to start something in this part of the city. Let us help you. Let us resource you. And I remember Pastor Rob Ketterling, who pastors River Valley Church, I remember him saying, come on staff with us for the 6 months before you start High Point in order to get our DNA so that you can learn the philosophy and our approach and our heartbeat and reproduce that. Because DNA is reproduced. You can't just change and now I'll be part of a different family. You're the family you're birthed from. So as we began to process that and remember those things and watch the hand of God throughout the past 8 years of the development of our church, we realized we have the same DNA. We've stayed close to our mother church.
For those of you who are parents, you know the feeling with your kids, like you're going out of the country or you're doing something and you're thinking, well, who's going to take these rascals if something happens to us? And so there's a lot of dialogue and you're like, well, what about your mom? And the other person's like, no, not mom. What about your
not
sister?
Your mom.
What about my mom? You know, you have these conversations and they all boil down to who is best going to ensure their health, their success, who's going to love them the way we love them, who's going to provide for them the way we provided for them. We knew in our hearts that God was moving us on. And the challenge was, who's going to take care of this church the way we would? And one of the things that we realized quickly was, who better to take care of this church than my pastor, the one who dedicated my child, the one who was there when we just were sharing this dream, and he says, you can do it, who opened up his network and said, let me help fund this. Let me get my friends to be a part of this, and who we go to and who's been an overseer and who knows you better than you think he does. And so as we were praying about us leaving and shifting, we were like, this is better because now we all just partner. We get to move on. Elizabeth is being invited to be the stewardship pastor, which you know she has a passion for helping to create a culture of generosity. Many of you have stepped into tithing and giving, and we gave $100,000 to Kingdom Builders last year just because you stepped out in faith. And now she'll be invited on the team at River Valley to help throughout their entire organization to bring a culture of generosity in a new way, to partner with people. I'll be invited to be a network pastor, which basically means I'll help with church planning, church multiplication, campus multiplication. I'll help take the leadership principles that we've discovered over this church and at River Valley, and I'll help multiply that around the nation. I'll help be a part of what God is doing in reproducing churches, which is right up my alley. And this church will come on board and be a campus of River Valley. This would be the sixth campus here in the U.S. And it's exciting to be a part of something it's big in scope, but each campus has its own little flavor. Each campus has its own culture. Each campus has its own campus pastor that loves the people, that will be a part of it, that will give of their energy to one-on-one disciple and be a part of lives in this church.
We are excited for the opportunities that this brings to you, that this brings us, and we are so grateful to the Lord that we can all go together, because that's what this means. This means that our roles here will change, but it means that we are still able to walk into the vision that God has given us, because River Valley is a church that has a heart for the lost. River Valley is a church that has a heart for this city, just like we have. And many of you remember the day that we bought these chairs. And you remember coming here before the grand opening and putting post-it notes of people's names on these chairs. Yep. Our heart is to see this church full. Our heart is to see the families of Mendota Heights and of Egan and Invergrove Heights come and experience living water that will refresh them here. And what we have seen through the ministry of River Valley is a church that God's favor is on. And we have seen a church that is reaching our city and is growing and is bringing new people in. And it is such a relief and a joy for us to know, as your pastors, what we have all worked so hard to establish doesn't go away. Right. It takes the next step. It's a catalyst into fulfilling what the vision has always been at High Point. And we've got to tell you, you know, it's been a lot of soul searching. It's been a lot of up and down. There's a lot of emotion that has been attached to these conversations because we love you, because this is significant, because we feel responsible to the Lord to steward this church well. And we can tell you that as we have sought counsel, as we have weighed out what this means, we have continually come to open doors. We've had no voice of caution or opposition. The overwhelming spirit of the conversations has been, this is a great opportunity for the kingdom of God in the Twin Cities. Yep. This is an incredible step for High Point Church. This is an incredible step for the people in this community to be able to take what's already been established, which has been hard fought. Yep. It's been a beachhead that we have all established in this part of the city. But we've got the hold here. And now with an infusion of more people that are like-minded and resources and the anointing of God coming on it, we truly believe we will be better together, that there will be a better return for our kingdom work. Yep. And it's just exciting to see God prosper what we have done.
I know you have a lot of questions, and so our deacons are going to hand out at this time a brochure that we put together for you of just some details so that you have it in your hand. I know some of you, you're thinking, well, what does this mean? What about my service? What about I'm doing hospitality? Will I keep doing hospitality? Yes, you will, because we need coffee a lot. And so they're going to hand out this brochure, and we're going to walk through some of the details with you. At the end, we're going to invite Pastor Rob. Some of you know Pastor Rob. He's here. We're going to invite him to come and talk in just a moment. And at the end, we're going to close. We're going to pray together. And then we're going to wait about 10, 15 minutes. If you have more questions that are not answered here, just meet right back here. We're going to do a Q&A with Pastor Rob and Elizabeth and I after the service. We're just going to make sure that nobody walks away with questions. If you have a question at the end of this, then we've not done our job. So we just want to know that everything's nailed out. And if you want to meet with me, my calendar's free completely this week. We can meet. We can talk. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving parts. And so as you get these brochures, you'll see in the front cover that there's a letter that we wrote to you, just again to give you some common language and to talk about this in a healthy way. And so this, I see a few rows back there getting, I just want everybody to have it. If you don't have one, just raise your hand. Just, we want to make sure everybody's got one. Okay, perfect.
Well, there's a letter here that you can read later on, but we do want to talk about what does this look like and what are some of the exciting opportunities that become available to us as a church as we move forward. But we want to, as you know, as you've seen at High Point, we want to make sure that we are open and upfront and there's dialogue going into it so that we can all move forward. So High Point Church will become a River Valley Church campus, and it will change names to be the Egan campus of River Valley Church. All aspects of High Point Church will be merged. The vision, the mission, the finances, the property, we all become one. We all say, we'll be better together, so we're not going to hold back. Every part of us, we're all in on this. Pastor Rob Ketterling will be the lead pastor over the congregation. He will be our shepherd as a church. Pastors Tori and Elizabeth will integrate into River Valley Church, respectively, as network pastor and stewardship pastor. What that means is that our title change, our focus changes, but we will still be a part of the same church, mm-hmm. which means we don't have to say goodbye. And I'm very grateful to the Lord for that because I happen to like you a lot.
I plan on having our kids still be a part of the what's going on here in the kids ministry. We live just a few miles away, and so my kids will come to youth group here and be a part of what's going on here. That's the plan.
River Valley Church will be one church in multiple locations. What we love about this is not a new risky idea, but it's a proven pattern. This is a church that has taken an interest in expanding the kingdom of God through multi-site, through joining with other congregations, some that were struggling, some that were thriving, but we are now one church, and this is something that we have seen God bless in our city and also in churches around the nation. This is a new thing that the Lord is doing, to have one church that meets in multiple locations. A campus pastor will be hired to pastor the people of the Egan campus and work with a staff team and volunteer leaders. So what that means is now there will be a pastor who is hired in place of having us here, that is hired to do pastoral care, to know you, to answer your questions, that's hired to know when you're having babies and cry with you when there's a funeral. There will be someone here on site. Pastor Rob, as he is the pastor over multiple locations, can't be everywhere every moment. So there will be someone dedicated to the needs of this location here. And they will also work with a team of people dedicated to the needs of this location here. High Point Church paid staff will be evaluated by River Valley Church leadership and, if appropriate, be offered roles within River Valley Church team. There are going to be some things that change. There will be a new structure. There are so many incredible benefits from the changes that will come. But we do understand that there are new needs as we specialize. And Tori and I go into more specialized roles as a network pastor and a stewardship pastor. There are other people in specialized roles to contribute to what happens here. So the structure of how we have been staffed will change. And we are, even since this was printed, we have more information for you on that. And we are very happy to tell you that Pastor Kat, the children's pastor, has been offered a position and has accepted the position to stay on to pastor the kids here. And so your kids that love Pastor Kat and have, if you've worked on her teams, she will be staying on in a very similar role to what she is in now.
Yeah. Pastor, River Valley has a strong music program. They pride themselves in their music. They put out nationally recognized albums. They are very stocked in their worship leaders at this time. And so as Pastor Aaron was, we were talking about this, it became evident that Aaron will not be making the transition to River Valley's team. There's a natural season going on in Pastor Aaron's life as well, where this is, as we've been talking to him, he's saying, man, I've got some ideas, I had some thoughts, I had some things that I just wasn't pursuing because I was here. And as we've talked, this is an opportunity for him to explore some of those things that God had already been laying on his heart. This is also, just so you know, we want to make this easy and good for our team as well. And so there's a generous severance that's being offered. We're advocates for our team, and we're trying to make their phone ring on their behalf from other churches and other opportunities. People are already going, hey, so how? What did he? Was he good? And I'm like, yeah, he's great. So we're excited. I do not have concerns over Pastor Aaron finding something great that fits him. I know many of you are wondering about Pastor Drew. Pastor Drew is a part-time employee here at High Point. He's been here for 5 years. He was our intern. Someday I'm going to show you a picture of him on his first week. I mean, scruffy kid. We have loved him. I've loved him like a son. And we knew that this season of our church, we were going to be saying goodbye to Pastor Drew. He has been getting offers. People are talking about him to me. I'm sorry.
He's graduating with his master's in May. We have been, yeah, you can give him a hand. It has been a privilege and an honor to work with him in his first position and have him here. And I know many of you, your lives have been impacted by Pastor Drew and Courtney's ministry here. And we love them, and they have been talking with River Valley. They have been exploring the opportunities, and they have come to a mutual understanding and agreement, and we affirm it.
Yep.
that it's not the opportunities available are not the best place for Pastor Drew's giftings yep. and for his next step. And we are excited as he is being released into the possibilities,
wild.
Not into the wind.
we're mama birds just pushing them out. Fly, baby bird, fly.
Pastor Drew is an incredible man of
yes.
God, and he is still just starting out his ministry. And we are committed to helping him. This is not a goodbye. This is a relationship that will endure for a long time.
Yep.
And many of you will be able to say, I knew him at his first thing. I can't believe what God has done. We believe great things in store for him. And there is an element of we will miss him.
Mm-hmm.
But we are excited that there is a place that God is preparing him for.
Yep.
So that is what will be happening with our paid staff. Now, there will be new people coming in, new staff members that are hired in order to serve us here that we will get to know and grow together with as we go through the changes.
Yeah, and you'll meet them over the next few weeks and months, and there's some exciting things. You're going to love them. I mean, some of the people that they're interviewing are people I went to school with, and they're just good friends that I've known actually since I was a kid. So there's some things that are in the works that I'm confident as I introduce them to you, because Elizabeth and I aren't just going to disappear. I hope you hear that. That you're going to like what comes next, and you're going to feel very comfortable with what comes next, because it's a natural fit and flow, and it will be a good transition.
Here's when we say, we would not just trust anybody with you. We are protective of you. We are responsible for you. And these are good hands that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you expect? There are so many things that you will be pleasantly surprised, will feel very natural, will remain the same, will be maybe a different sign on the building. But we already know, coming from a movie theater into this location, the church isn't the building,
no.
and the church isn't the logo. You are the church.
Yep.
The church is the people. And that is what makes it so exciting to think about. We get to keep the benefit of what we already have, but we have more opportunities. So let's just talk about what this will be like and what you can expect. Services will continue to be held on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11. So if you're a first service person, just keep on coming. I'm first service. Each week there will be worship experience with live music along with a combination of live and video teaching. This is one of the ways that we can make sure we are all moving in the same direction as a church, that we are all listening to one voice and that we all have one shepherd. So in order to be able to hear from our shepherd, Pastor Rob, the majority of the communication as far as the preaching will be by video, so that we have his heart and that we are all one church.
Mm-hmm.
There will be live music. There will be a live offering, a live announcement. There will be a live response time.
Mm-hmm.
That is why there's a campus pastor here, to have someone in the room who can respond to what's happening here. But the preaching will be mostly by video.
Mm-hmm.
Connection groups will continue as they are. They will change name to life groups, but basically how we do connection groups has been modeled after the way River Valley does it. So the type of groups you do, you will still be leading. Hint, hint, sign up to lead a connection group. Ministry teams will continue as they are and gradually adapt to the River Valley church systems. That means if you're scheduled to be with the toddlers, keep on doing that. What you do, how you already participate, how you already serve the church, that will remain the same. And then as we grow and change, there will be new things we incorporate, but your teams will remain as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom builders will continue to be a primary focus of our stewardship. Why stop now, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure Pastor Rob will talk about this in a moment, but let me just tell you, the mission's heart of this church that we are about to be a part of is so big. You've been asking for years for mission trips. In the next few months, we're going to introduce you. You'll take your pick. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Who do you want to do it for? It's there. We're talking about $5 million this next year for Kingdom Builders. Now, they're not expecting all of that from you. But guess what? We get to be a part of something bigger than we could possibly do on our own. And so, like, when I think of the missions arm, the KB arm, the things that we've got a taste of, I know some of you are already going like, hey, can we do this project? Can we do that? Just wait. Bigger things, exciting things we get to be a part of that we could never do on our own.
Our current High Points Church deacons will remain in their roles, and I'd love for the deacons
to stand.
We have Brian and Jolene Kirshner that are some of our deacons.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give these people a hand.
Stan and Karen Stone have been here from the beginning, so thank you. And Neil and Rhonda are in the back, and thank you. And actually, go ahead, give them a hand. Little fun fact, Neil and Rhonda, she was a deaconess at River Valley before we launched the church here at High Point, and Neil was an elder at River Valley. So they're like, our story just, like, it's coming full circle. It all makes sense in their life now, so it's good.
But they will stay in their roles. We want you to know that there will be people who know you, who are familiar with what's happening, who are part of the transition with you. And they will stay in their roles for a minimum of 1 year. That's when they will be up to be reelected to be deacons. And members in good standing will transfer membership to River Valley Church.
So if you're a member, would you stand if you're a member? Yeah. This is our core. And these, we shared this with them yesterday. They asked really good questions. And overall, I think I felt a general excitement from these people. And so if you have questions, our deacons, our members, they're people you can talk to. And they're going to tell you the same thing. Like, you know, so everybody wants to know, like, now what really happened? Nothing. There's no really. It's what we told you. You should know that by now. That's just who we are. And so we'd love to just help you on board in this next season. Thank you, members, for all that you do.
On the back of here, there's a bio about Pastor Rob and his amazing wife, Becca, and some of the exciting things that become available. And this is where, as your pastor and as the person that's over you in, let's say, a parental role, as I've been sharing this, it's this is like when you have your kids and they have something on their Christmas list that you just can't afford to give them. You would love to, and you know that they would enjoy it. You know that they would love it. You know that it would enrich them, and you just wish you could do it, but you can't provide it to them. And then grandma comes to town and, like, buys the American Girl doll that they've been wishing for. That's how I feel for you as your pastors. There are so many things I would love to make available that we could get there, but by doing this, it just expedites what I can make available for you. So there's a list here. There will be a youth pastor that is hired for this location to raise up a youth group as their primary focus, and will join with the hundreds of students that are already part of the River Valley Youth to bring a youth group here. Oh, we've been dreaming about that. There's a community 20 plus for young adults where they can get together, build relationships with other young adults. There's an incredible women's ministry. And what that means is that they come in and we can join into the system that's already established. That we can have incredible women's events and community among women, men's events, the missions trips, the global projects that we have an opportunity, local service things that are available. I would encourage you, on the back of this page is the River Valley website. Go on their website, learn about River Valley, learn what, and allow yourself to dream a little bit. What could that mean in my backyard with my friends that I already go to church with? If we can get into this, wow, what can happen for the kingdom?
Yeah. Well, at this point, I would love for you to hear from our pastor. And Pastor Rob, we're excited to have you come and share with you and just to introduce you in a new way. We did your Change Before You Have To series and had a blast and read your book. So many of us, your voice is going to sound familiar, and so we're excited to have you here.
Love you. Hey, I want you to do this. I felt this all along. We're going to be only about 10 to 15 more minutes, and then we'll break, all right? but you want to show your love to them. I know you do, because I'm just watching how much you do. You love them? I mean, show your love and appreciation for 8 years of incredible ministry. It's true. It's true. You guys have done incredible. So good. So good. All right. I'd love to introduce my wife real quick, and she said there's enough talkers up here that I don't need to go up there. But my wife, Becca, is here, and I'm glad to have you here. And I've got three quick things I want to say, and I promise we'll be on time. First of all, God is in this. It's just the only way I can say it. I'm overwhelmed. God is in this. I mean, every bit of it. You don't do this unless God is in this. Right. I'm just telling you. I didn't dream of this. It wasn't a master strategy. I thought we'd grow a church to 1,000 and never go bigger. And we wanted to plant a church when we got to 1,000, and this was the church. And I was so excited. I tried to hire these guys the first day they came to our church, and they said, we're not going to be youth pastors. We want to do something different with our life. And I said, okay, then what do you want to do? I believe in you. I want to launch your church. Let's go. Let's do this. So we did it. We believed in him. We co-signed the loan. You know, we were the guarantor, you know, when this thing started. And we've just been on this, in this journey, and we've watched and we've cheered. And I can remember one week, it just stands out to me that you guys were on vacation and you came to visit River Valley. Yeah. And you're in church. And I go, Tori and Elizabeth are here. Our kids have come home. And I said, come up on the stage. And they're like, okay, we're on vacation. I'm like, that's okay. And I said, do you need anything? And I mean, I think you were saying, like, you know, so I said, let's give you some money. I said, pure business guy, let's give them some money today. Our kids are home. Yeah. And then you said, well, we're moving into the building. And I said, anybody that wants to go to the new building, go with them. If you live closer to them, would you please go to their church? We just want to build the body. I mean, that's been our heart, okay? So all along, that's been our heart together. And then down to God being in this, that, you know, you approached us and we approached you. It was like the same time. And it was another church that was looking to merge with us. And we said no to them. And we said, you know who would make more sense? It would be High Point, but, you know, that'd have to be a God thing. And we said, well, let's just see if God's stirring them, you know, just try. You know, maybe God's stirring in them. And it's 3 days after God's stirring in your hearts that we call. And it wasn't a master plan. We didn't say, let's do this. And it just was a what if. Mm-hmm. What if God's in this? God's been in this so many, in so many little ways. Even today, I had this weekend off, and for those of you that don't know, I love to travel, and whenever I have the weekend off from River Valley, I'm usually preaching in another church. And I said to my wife, hey, we've got this weekend coming up, February. Should I do a speaking engagement, or do you think we should just not travel and we should be home? She goes, I feel like we're supposed to not travel. And I was like, really? You know, are you sure? And she's like, yes, this is from the Lord. I'm like, okay. So we stayed home. So this was scheduled as just a weekend off. Everything was already covered at Apple Valley and for all the campuses at church. And here we are. And they're like, you'd think like, oh, he just came here. Because I think God was in it even down to the day off. I believe that God is in it. And I'm just telling you over and over again, God is in this. And it's been so encouraging for me to see that. God is in it. The other thing I'd say is it works. It works. I was anti-multi-site. I did not want to do it. God had to convince me that this would work. I said, not in Minnesota. It may work in other states, but it won't work in Minnesota. Not here. And I went on a 3-day prayer retreat and came back, and I said a couple things. I said, first of all, we're supposed to go multi-site. God says it's going to work. And I said, and secondly, somebody's going to give us a building to prove that this is real and that this is what we're supposed to do. And so the staff's like, okay, hope you heard from God. And 3 days later, Pastor St. John calls and says, hey, have you ever thought about going multi-site? He said, there's a church that's giving away their building and they want to give it away in the next 5 days. Are you interested? And I was like, yes, I am. I just prayed about that. And so we went to Faribault to a church that was running 12 people. And they gave us the building, and then the people joined us. And today, it's running 400. And then God said, guess what? We're just on this journey. And then we had another church, similar to High Point, that said, hey, we think we could be better together. We're not in trouble like the church in Faribault, but we think God is asking us to come together. And I can tell you, you're not in trouble. you're not in trouble. This is a God thing. These guys are like, this is a healthy, good church. This is a great church, and we really want to do this better together. And so we had another church that joined us, about the same size, and in 3 years, they went from 290 people to now 900, and we just bought land in Shakopee for the campus. Then Pastor St. John called me and said, unless God says no, the answer is yes. And he's our superintendent, and I said, okay, I'll say yes to whatever you want to do. He said, we want to give you another church, just a few people, handful of people, and I can let you know that 3 years later, it went from just a handful of people left. They had 500 on their opening day in the new building, and it's just exploding in a church that's never been more than 100. And one of the founding pastors came back for the opening day of the new building, and he just tears in his eyes. He's like, I knew it could happen. I just didn't know how.
Yeah.
You know? And he said, thanks for doing this. I knew this is what I saw. Yeah. I just didn't know how it would get here.
Yeah.
And so it works. And I even had to convince my own mom. And my mom's like, multi-site won't work. I'm opposed to it. And then, you know, when your mom comes up to you like a year later and she goes, it works. It's a God thing. All right. You know, it's working. And it does work. And it works just like you said. We'll be better together. And there will be pastoral team. And there will be an adjustment. Just 75% video, 25% live. And I went to a video church last week. We were down having our elder retreat in Arizona, and that was of the Lord. I'm just going to tell you that, to be in Arizona. And we were there, and we visited a large video venue, and I watched the sermon, and usually I'm preaching. And so I watched this person on video who was, you know, 30 minutes away, but it was on video. And for about 3 minutes, I was like, okay, he's not here. And all of a sudden, 3 minutes in, I'm like, locked in, and I received the whole message, and at the end of it, I was like, it works. Mm-hmm. Like, I received what God had for me yep. through somebody that gave the hours to preparation
yep.
into the message. Mm-hmm. And then I thought it was so cool that the campus pastor was there caring for the people, and he was like, hey, great to see you. Hey, life group this Thursday. Hey, how's Molly? You know, and I'm thinking, he didn't have to prep this week. He's been in the life of the church. And I thought, that's exactly what's happening yep. at River Valley, and it works. Yep. And we'll be better together. And this kind of goes with God being in this. We sat down in a what-if lunch. We just sat down in a what-if lunch. And I want to tell you, there were two areas that I was praying for. And I've learned this. God, here's our need, and I'm praying for this. Mm-hmm. Please make it obvious. And I had said, we really want somebody who will be our network pastor that will be able to talk to other churches that are contemplating about doing multi-site, that will help us with our church planters, that knows church planting, that will be able to be our liaison to all these networks and coaching and all these things. We really need that spot, God. That's what we need. And then I said, God, we really need fuel for the vision because, as Pastor Tori said, I think it was $5 billion. It's true. We've never done that amount. And I shared, we're going to raise $5 million over and above our regular giving for Kingdom Builders. And I said, God, we're going to need a stewardship pastor that will be able to help people to understand what it means to be generous, financially sound, be able to deal with people that want to leverage resources for the kingdom and want to know where it can go, that has a heart for missions. So those are the two things I'm praying for. And while we're at lunch, I said, well, the only openings we have, if you were to join the team, are in these two areas. And Elizabeth, you're like, I have an anointing on stewardship. That is my area. I will claim that job. You know, I mean, it was that obvious. And Tori was like, that is my sweet spot. That yeah. is like, that's where God has been stirring me. And even the tension at High Point has been my passion for what God is calling me to do outside the local church versus what's I'm doing in it. And mm-hmm. it's a tension I'm managing. And he's like, these sound custom made.
Yep.
And you can't make that up.
Yeah.
And so when we brought it to our elders, they were overwhelmed. They love you guys. They said, we will be better together. And I just know that, I really believe that. It works. God is in this, and we'll be better together. And I really, truly believe that. I could go into story after story, and you'll hear so much about where we've been, and you'll just say, look at that, God was in it there, God was in it there, God was in it there. And I won't take the time to do all that, but I will say, I just believe God is in this. We'll be better together. Mm-hmm. And what we're going to see is critical momentum coming in that's going to help us to capture unrealized vision. There's been vision in them. What they've seen in their mind's eye, they've said, I see this and this and this and this. How's it going to happen, Lord? And now I see what's going to happen. Together we're going to come in, and the things they saw years ago are going to start happening. And you're going to go, look at this. And they're going to go, I saw that 10 years ago. I saw that. I saw it in my mind 6 years ago. I saw it 3 years ago. And we're going to see it together. There'll be momentum. There'll be things that will happen. There'll be more people that will join. There'll be people. I got an email this week from somebody. They said, is there any chance there's a campus coming closer to St. Paul? I love River Valley, but I'd love if you could just cut my commute time in half. Well, hang on. You know, not kidding. 3 weeks ago, I met with a couple. They've been commuting from Hudson. They said, man, is there anything? Can you meet us halfway? And I just looked at them. I was like, how about a third of the way? You know, I mean, it's happening, and those things are going on. And so God is in this. It works, and we will be better together. I really, really believe that. So you'll have time to celebrate these guys. Celebrate Pastor Drew and all that he's done, and we're sitting over there bantering, and I'm like, what does it look like? How's God speaking to you? And, you know, there'll be time to celebrate everyone on the team and to see what's coming, to welcome new people. And one thing you may not know, but they put it in the agreement. They just said, we have the right to go to this campus as much as we want. You know, we are here. We get to be here. These are friends. These are people we love. And they put that, yeah. So we'll answer all sorts of questions, and I know you've had a myriad of emotions and different thoughts that are going on, but the only thing I will say this, I learned this in my first church. I showed up as a youth pastor, day one, right out of Bible college. I show up, and everybody that was a youth leader, you know, that had been taking care of the transition, walked up to me and said, I quit. I've been doing this. I've been working so hard. You're the new guy. Get your own team. I quit. I didn't know what to say. They all quit on me, and I had to start and build from scratch. I went into my second church, and I said, nobody quits. And they all were like, okay, you know. And I said, nobody quits. Get us through the transition. We love the church too much to ever hurt it. We love the church too much to ever hurt it. So be with us through the transition. Mm-hmm. Okay, right now some of you probably said, I'm out. You know, some of you said, hey, opportunity. Some of you said, I don't know. Some of you say, I can't wait to go to the lobby and talk to my friend. You know, there's all sorts of thoughts that are going on. But if I've learned anything, we love the church too much to hurt it.
Yep.
We love what God has done here too much to not ride through the transition. Yep. And so I'd ask everyone, ride through the transition. Seek out what God has for you and for the church. And then as we get through the transition and as we welcome in a new campus pastor, okay, and that transition appears to have been handed off, then make that evaluation. Okay, God, what's next? What's next? Yep. That'll happen over, you know, in the next couple months. Yep. It's a perfect time. I would hope and believe that you'd say, I'm on the journey. God didn't bring us here to let us down. He's brought us here for the next step. But I understand. But I would just say, don't do anything that would hurt the church. Do something that would protect his church and bring glory and honor to his name. And even as you talk about multi-site, you say, I don't understand it. Maybe your friends don't understand it. But you're like, I'm going to just protect the church and go through this transition and see what God has next. And that would be the only thing that I would ask of you.
That's good. Well, you may have questions. Again, we're going to close here in a second, so would you stand? And then afterwards, we'll have 10, 15 minutes. We'll just meet right back here. And if you have questions, we'll just answer your questions. And you can, you know, if you're like, I'm a thinker, call me, email me. We're here. We're not going anywhere. You're going to see this mug around over the next few months as we transition. So next week, same service times. I'll be preaching again, and we'll just continue this dialogue, continue this conversation together. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Grab the hand of the person next to you. I just feel like maybe some of you in this moment, as you've heard what's gone on, the Holy Spirit's been tugging on you to surrender your life to Him. I just feel like it's a weird meeting and all the rest, but there's one or two people in this room who God is saying, I want to be better with you. And if you feel far from God and you want to be better with Him, would you just squeeze the hand of the person next to you? Just a little squeeze, just a little knowing that that person will pray with you. You don't have to say anything. You just squeeze the hand of the person next to you. Just say, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray right now as people are receiving that, as they are acknowledging your draw on their life, your calling, I pray that they would squeeze that hand and that in that moment you would flood their life with joy and peace and support and your presence. Lord, thank you that you are the God who saves, you are the God who loves, and that even in times of transition and change, you still want to make your presence known, and you still want to be Lord of our lives, and you're good, and you carry us through anything. You never change, you're always the same, and we trust you, God. And so now, the church, as a body, holds one another's hands. I hold my pastor's hand, I hold my wife's hand. You hold your friend's hand. You hold your spouse's hand. And together, we believe that there are better days ahead. And Lord, I pray that as each person holds the hand of the person next, that as we pray for that person, we pray for this church over these next few weeks, Lord, that we would see this church grow, that we would see the mission advanced, we would see the glory and the power of God upon this city. And Lord, you placed us here. You put this building here. You put this church here. Now, Lord, I pray that it would expand and that when we look back upon this time in the next year or two, that we would look back with favor, with joy, saying, you saw us and you knew exactly what you were doing, God. We are on this ride with you. Thank you. Take us where you lead us. We're changing your pocket. We want to be spent at your leisure. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May God bless you, help you to live your potential. Have a great week.